But here in Isaiah chapter 26, verses 3 and 4, probably two of my favorite verses in Isaiah, actually, God gives us a beautiful promise about peace. Notice verse 3, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." So today, we're going to talk about perfect peace. Let's pray. Lord, how we love you, and how we are so blessed to assemble together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ today, and open your word together, and hear from the Holy Spirit together. And we pray you would be glorified in this service, and pleased, and honored. And Lord, most of all, that you would speak to each one of us as the need be, to change us and make us more like our Savior. In whose name we ask these things. Amen. Now, before we dive into this passage, I just want to clarify that in the Bible, there are four different kinds of peace. Four. So sometimes it might be hard to keep track of them all. So the first and most important peace for a human being is having peace with God. Now that's in Romans chapter 5. If you want to turn there quickly, I'll show it to you. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Because as we know, when man fell, man was now separated from God and was now God's enemy because of sin. Through the sacrifice and the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, now man can be reconciled to God. We call that salvation. Amen? And here in Romans chapter 5, look what it says, verse 1. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God." Now that you are born again, you've been justified and you have peace with God. The world can't claim this peace. You must have salvation. You must be justified through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to have this peace. And that is the most important peace for us, is that we have peace with God. And if you're in this service this morning and you say, "I believe in God, but I'm not sure I have peace with God," listen, there's nothing more important for you than to get that settled. Because if you don't have peace with God, then you're God's enemy and you will remain God's enemy for eternity in a place called hell. Nobody wants that. But Jesus paid the price so you could have peace. And that is the first peace. The second peace, which we hear about so often, is world peace. Peace. Guess what? God's word says, actually, things are going to keep getting worse until Jesus comes. And no matter how hard we try, and no matter how many United Nations we create, we're not going to have world peace. We're going to have more wars and more wars and more problems and more fights, and it's just going to keep getting worse until the Prince of Peace comes, Jesus, and sets up his perfectly peaceful kingdom on this earth. Then we will have world peace, but not until. And he's called, Isaiah 9, chapter 6, or chapter 9, verse 6, the Prince of Peace, and he is the one, only the one, that will bring peace. Until then, the world will not have peace. And we have to accept that that is the situation that we find ourselves in, that Satan's the god of this world and the world is a mess. The third peace, and if you want to turn to Romans 12, 18 quickly, that is peace with one another. Not only fellow Christians, but every other person that we interact with in life, at work, our neighbors, our family. God wants us to do everything in our power to get along with everyone else as Christians. That is his will. Romans 12, 18, look what it says. "If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with" who? All men, everyone. Now, this isn't world peace. This is talking about getting along with others, having peace with my neighbor, peace with my workmates, peace with my family, Now, you may disagree on some things, but there's peace between you. Why? Because you're a Christian and you're gracious and you're kind and you're forgiving. And so that's a third peace. Peace with each other. So those three pieces are not what we're talking about today. What we're talking about today is the peace of God. Now, this is a peace that is only available to Christians, and it is an inner peace that a Christian can possess in the midst of trials and tribulations and problems and a troubled world. Because we have God within us, we can have peace in our hearts. And that's what this is talking about today. So we've laid that groundwork. Let's go back to our passage, Isaiah 26, verse 3. Thou, that's God, wilt keep him, that's us, in perfect peace. This is God's will, that we have perfect peace. And one thing that I'm finding in the midst of what we find ourselves in this past couple of years is a lot of Christians that don't have peace. Instead, it's a bunch of worry and it's a bunch of fear. But we have no place as God's children to have those things in our lives. We're to have peace. Now, Jesus warned us, if you want to go to John 14 quickly, the Gospel of John chapter 14, Jesus warned us that in this world we were going to have problems and tribulations. Jesus never told us otherwise, by the way. And I know there's a lot of churches that like to preach that if you become a Christian, everything will be wonderful and you'll be rich and you'll be healthy and you'll never have any more problems. Listen, that sounds good and it makes people feel good, but it's not from the Bible. Jesus actually told us the opposite, that we were going to have a lot of tribulations and a lot of trials, and even more so as we get to the closer to the end. But notice John 14, 27, Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you." So notice he's saying here where this peace comes from. It comes from him. Amen. It doesn't come from you, from within you, and it doesn't come from your circumstances, and it doesn't come from any external source. It comes from Jesus. My peace, he says, I give unto you, not as the world giveth. In other words, you can't find this peace in the world. That's what Jesus is saying. It's not available to the world. It's only available through Jesus. But look what he says at the end of the verse. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So he not only revealed the source of this wonderful peace that is available to every believer in Jesus Christ, but he also revealed the contrast to this peace. And that is when we're troubled or afraid. Which, sadly, again, a lot of Christians are troubled and afraid right now, which means they don't have perfect peace. Now, while you're in John, go to chapter 16, verse 33, where Jesus again talks about this peace that he came to give us as his children. He says, John 16, 33, "These things I've spoken unto you, that in me," so again, we find the source of this peace, it's in Jesus, "in me you might have" what? Peace. But look what he says in the rest of the verse. "In the world ye shall have tribulation." So did he say, "I'm going to give you peace and you won't have any more problems"? No. "I'm going to give you peace and you won't have any more trials"? He didn't say that, did he? He said, actually, you're going to have tribulations. Because this world is a troubled place, run by the devil. But he says, look, be of good cheer, because I've overcome the world. You're going to have tribulation, but that's okay. You win in the end. Amen? Jesus has already conquered this world. Right now, the devil's having fun, but he knows his end is in sight. And when we leave this earth, it's over. This fight with the world is over. And Jesus says, be of good cheer. I've already conquered the world. When I rose from the dead, I won. And it's already done. So while you're in the New Testament, go to Philippians 4. We'll look at just one more verse. Yeah, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Most of you I know this passage by heart, Philippians 4, 6 and 7. But again, it talks about this peace that's available to God's children, this perfect peace. Look what it says, verse 6. Be careful for nothing. That word careful there is an older usage. It means anxious. So be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, that your requests be made known unto God. And look at the next part. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God. That's what we're talking about this morning. The peace of God. It passes all understanding. It's something that the world does not understand. How a Christian can have peace in their hearts while going through trials and tribulations. That's because they don't have Jesus. So they can't relate and they can't understand. It's beyond understanding. We're told in Colossians 3 to let the peace of God rule in our hearts. We're commanded to live this perfect peace that is available to us through the indwelling Holy Spirit of God. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. And God says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. God has promised us the peace of God as his children. And if we're not living the peace of God, what it means is instead we're troubled or we're afraid, or as we'll see in verse 4, we're not trusting the Lord. That's the absence of peace. God said in Psalm 119, 165, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. So there's another contrast to perfect peace, and that's being offended. So being afraid, being troubled, being offended, these are the opposite of having peace in your heart. And God says it's not his will that we live those things, but that we live his peace. God once said, go back to our passage, he'll keep us in perfect peace. But look what he says at the end of the verse, whose mind is stayed on thee. So he's giving us one of the clues to living this perfect peace that's available to us. And that is, what is our mind focused on? What are we spending our time thinking about? Are we thinking about the problems and the troubles and the trials and the tribulations? Are we thinking about this messed up world? Or are we keeping our mind stayed on the one who made the world? And the one who conquered this current world. And the one who's given us a world to come called heaven. Whose mind is stayed on thee. So when we allow our mind to wander, remember when Peter was in the boat? And we give Peter a hard time because he often would stick his foot in his mouth. We got that. But none of the other disciples stepped out of the boat, did they? At least Peter did. And he saw Jesus walking on the water, and he said, Lord, bid me to come. Jesus said, come on. And Peter walked on the water. Never forget that. How was he able to do that? It was all about trusting Jesus. But the Bible says he began to take his eyes off of Jesus, and he looked, and they were in the middle of a storm at the time, and he looked and he saw all these storm clouds, and he saw the wind blowing around and the rain. And as soon as he took his eyes off of Jesus, what happened? He started sinking. He lost that peace because his mind wasn't stayed on Christ. His mind began to wander and it began to sink. And that's what happens to Christians. They lose their focus. Our focus is on Jesus and what he did for us and how he's changed us and how he's given us a new life and how he's never going to leave us nor forsake us and he's given us a home in heaven. We need to stay focused on him. But the devil comes along and says, no, you need to focus on this and this and this. And then we lose our peace. Whose mind is stayed on thee. God says we're to be casting down imaginations and bringing every thought into the obedience of Christ in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We're to keep our thoughts under control and keep them focused on him. That verse we looked at in Philippians 4. The peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds. The peace of God even helps to keep our minds calm. But when we aren't living the peace of God, the opposite is true. And our minds are troubled. And we're living in fear. or we're living in an offense, but we're not, as it says in verse 3, because he trusteth in thee. And so the direct opposite, God says, of having perfect peace is not trusting God. That's what it comes down to. Think about Israel in the desert. When did they have peace in their hearts, and when did they not? Well, it was more not than yes, wasn't it? They had a lot of peace in their hearts right after God killed the Egyptian army in the Red Sea. Then they're, yay, God is great, look what he did. And then they turned around and said, oh, we have nothing to drink. But wait, God just killed an entire army and you're going to stress over whether or not you have some water? But that's what they did. No peace. Because they wouldn't trust God. But that's what he says, verse 3, because he trusteth in thee. Look at verse 4. Trust ye in the Lord forever. And so we can safely say, based on this passage, that if we don't have the peace of God ruling in our hearts, that is just another way of saying we're not trusting God. And that if we are trusting God, we will have the peace of God in our hearts. Because is God powerful enough to protect us? Is God powerful enough to watch over us? Is God powerful enough to give us whatever he believes we need? Is he powerful enough to take us to heaven when we die? The answer to all those, of course, is yes. Therefore, we trust him. Amen? But when we begin to not trust him, when we begin to allow the devil to mess with our minds and we begin to get troubled, or we begin to get afraid, or we begin to get offended, we're not trusting God. And so he's given us the exact opposite of peace, and that is lack of trust. Lack of trust. Jeremiah 17:7, turn there if you would. We could talk all afternoon about verses on trusting the Lord. Most of us know Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not on thine understanding. But notice Jeremiah 17:7. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. Isn't that good? Jeremiah 17:7. Unless I gave the wrong reference. Is that the right reference? Some people were looking like I gave the wrong reference. Maybe you're in the wrong book. It happens to me all the time. You know what Job said? In the midst of sitting in the ash pile, scraping the sores, and lost his children, lost his living, he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Job said, I don't care. I'm not going to stop trusting God. No matter how bad it gets, I know I'm one of his, and I'm not going to stop trusting him, even if he kill me, which he has the right to do as his one of his creations. I'm still going to trust him. And that's the attitude we need to have, that we trust in the Lord, that we hope in the Lord. It's all about trust. You know, the Bible says, 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. That's trust. Trust means, Lord, you got this. Yeah, I got a lot of problems. Yeah, the world's a mess. It's yours. I'm not gonna stress about it. I'm not gonna worry about it. I'm not gonna be afraid. I'm just gonna trust you. And you know what God gives when we do that? Peace. Perfect peace in our hearts. Then he finishes there in verse 4, for in the Lord Jehovah. I love that. In the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Now, I mentioned it before, but that's what trust is all about, is believing in the power of God, isn't it? And this name Jehovah, God gave this name to talk about his strength, his self-existence. That was what he was trying to get across when he finally revealed this name to Moses there in Exodus. This name that says, I am the strong one. I'm the creator. I can do anything. Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge and strength. Psalm 18:2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress. Psalm 62:8, trust in Him at all times. We could go on and on. And then one more, Psalm 125. Look there quickly if you would. Psalm 125, verse 1. But the Lord is finishing this passage by saying that in Him, in the Lord Jehovah, is everlasting strength. Not temporary strength, but everlasting strength. And what He's saying is, I can be trusted because I'm Jehovah. I can be trusted. I made everything. I can be trusted. I am all powerful. And in me is everlasting strength. And if you'll trust me through everything, don't be troubled. Don't be afraid. Don't be offended. If you'll just trust me, I'll give you perfect peace. Psalm 125, verse 1. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. That needs to be us. We need to be Mount Zions that can't be removed. The devil can't knock us down because we're trusting in the Lord Jehovah, who has everlasting strength. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Perfect peace, he promises, whose mind is stayed on thee. Not the troubles, but God. And then he says what? Because he trusteth in thee. So, our mind has to be on him, but it's all about trust, isn't it? And so if we don't have the peace of God, you know what it means? It means we're not trusting God. That's what he's telling us. Because he's saying that if we will trust in him, who is of everlasting strength, if we keep our mind focused on his power and who he is and what he's done for us, he's promised us perfect peace. That'll keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And what a blessing. One of those things that, again, isn't available to the lost. The lost can't even comprehend what we're talking about. To have peace in our hearts in the midst of pain. To have peace in our hearts when our loved one dies. To have peace in our hearts when we get attacked or when someone harms us in some way, to still have peace. How's that possible? We just sang about it. It is well with my soul. The man who wrote that had just lost his four daughters in a shipwreck. And he wrote, sat down and wrote that song. Imagine losing all four of your daughters in one go. And then he sits down and writes his song, "It is well with my soul." That's called the peace of God that passeth all understanding. We can't even explain it to the world, can we? Because it's not from us. It's from him. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It comes from the one who indwells us. Which is why the world can't access it. Because they don't have him inside of them. They need to be born again. So again, I'll ask the question, do you have peace with God? Are you born again? Do you know you've been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ from your sins and you know you're going to heaven? If you do, then are you living the peace of God? And I'm not talking any peace, I'm talking perfect peace. Is your life a life of perfect peace? Or have you allowed the devil to pull you aside and distract you into either being troubled or being afraid or being offended? He's very good at these things. Then you find yourself living a life without peace, even though the one that indwells you offers to you perfect peace. And it's because you're not trusting him. Because he promised that if we would trust the one who has everlasting strength, the Lord Jehovah, he would give us perfect peace. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we are so grateful for all that you are, all that you've